The children were asked to draw a picture of one of the scenes from the Bible. So one of the children chose the flight into Egypt. And when the teacher looked at it, it was the Holy Family in the back of an airplane. And so the teacher asked about it and said, well, describe everybody in the picture. And the children said, well, the three figures in the back, of course, are Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the teacher says, who's that in the front? And the little girl says, well, that's Pontius, the pilot. Well, in today's gospel, we have this dialogue between Pontius Pilate and the Lord about his kingship and just what kind of a king Jesus is. Now, the theme of kingship runs throughout the entire scriptures, beginning with the Old Testament and ending with the New. We have, of course, King David in the Old Testament. And the Jewish people knew that the Messiah had to be from the line of David. So the Messiah would be a king. But there was always a question, just what kind of king would he be? Well, when we look at the New Testament, we see the kind of king that Jesus was. And again, this theme runs through the New Testament. The angel Gabriel, when he appeared to the Blessed Mother, revealed that her son would be a king, that his reign would be without end. When the wise men, the pagan astrologers, traveled from Persia, wherever they were from, the question they asked when they came to Jerusalem is, where is the newborn king of the Jews? So they, even though they were not of the Jewish faith, they knew that their Messiah was going to be a king, and said, where is the newborn king of the Jews? And again, throughout the New Testament, we have when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, pray, thy kingdom come. So it's one of those important themes throughout Scripture. When the Lord died on the cross, what did Pontius Pilate have written over the Lord's inscription over the crucifixion scene? On top of the crucifix, it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And perhaps one of the most touching, most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, when the good thief was dying next to Jesus, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The incredible faith of the good thief, seeing a dying man, and he proclaimed Jesus as king. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So today is the feast day of Christ the King. It is the culmination of the entire liturgical year. All throughout the year, we are preparing and going through the life of Christ. And today, we acknowledge the kingship of Jesus Christ. It is the culmination of the liturgical year. Because next week, we begin a brand new season. New Year's Day for the Catholic Church is next Sunday, in the first Sunday of Advent. So today, this feast day was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. And so this is a feast day of about 100, almost 100 years old now. The Holy Father established this feast day because he saw modern society back then in the 1920s becoming less and less Christian, less and less Christendom. The word Christendom means where Christ is king. I remember when I went to Christendom College, in fact, it was actually 30 years ago, it was 1982 when I went off as a freshman to Christendom, and the very first paper I had to write was, what is Christendom? And I wasn't referring just to the college. It was referring to, what does that mean, the word Christendom? It means where Christ is king. And so I remember in that paper writing about, well, Christ has to be king of our hearts, Christ has to be king of our families, king of our parishes, king of our society, right? King of our culture through the arts and music. And Christ has to be king. That's what it means to have Christendom, and where Christ reigns in every aspect of our lives. And so Pius XI saw way back in the 20s that society was becoming more and more pagan, more and more secularized, less and less Christian. He saw the breakup of families. He saw these things beginning to increase, even things like a divorce and there were wars going on. Abortion was just beginning to becoming more and more talked about. Imagine what he would say today, 90 years later. Imagine, see, back then, I believe it may be 1 out of 100 couples got divorced. Now it's 1 out of 2. And look at the number of abortions in our country alone, 1.3 million each year. So sadly, over the last 90 to 100 years, our society has become less and less Christian. It's become more and more pagan, more and more hedonistic, more and more secular. So we need this feast day all the more, the feast day of Christ the King, to remind us that Jesus needs to be King and Lord of our families, of our hearts, of our society. So what are some practical things we can do to try to bring about the reign of Jesus Christ as King in our life? I'd say the first thing that we should do is to make sure we're in the state of grace, in the state of friendship with God. Because when we're in the state of grace, then Christ reigns within our hearts and souls through sanctifying grace. See, that is the most beautiful thing we could imagine, having God's grace within our lives, within our souls. We receive it in baptism. It's nourished in the Eucharist. It's strengthened in the sacraments. And when we go to confession and confess mortal sins and get rid of serious sins, we are restored to the state of grace. If we're in the state of grace, then Christ reigns within our lives. Christ reigns within our hearts and souls. To those who have not gone to confession in a while, go during Advent. Go back to confession and acknowledge Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your King, and always be in the state of grace. If you do that, you are a living throne of God. You're a living temple, a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity, and Jesus lives within you in sanctifying grace. So we need to avoid sin. Sin is what crucifies Christ within ourselves. I found a very powerful quote in the writings of another king, King St. Louis IX of France, one of the few kings to be canonized by the church. On his deathbed, he wrote a letter to his son, and it says, "Keep yourself, my son, from everything that you know that would displease God, that is to say, from every mortal sin. You should permit yourself to be tortured by every kind of martyrdom before you would allow yourself to commit a mortal sin." See, the advice from a father to a son. The power of this wisdom of this great earthly king who was a saint. So reminding his son the importance of always being in the state of friendship with God, in the state of grace, where Christ would always reign within his heart. Another practical thing we can do every time we come to Mass to acknowledge the kingship of Christ is to genuflect. If we're physically able to, what a beautiful sign of acknowledging the kingship of Christ. We have Jesus in this beautiful tabernacle, in this reredos, which is so magnificent. This is a church worthy of Christ the King, isn't it? This whole sanctuary, the altar, the high altar, the reredos is so magnificent, the tabernacle. See, Jesus is King and Lord of this parish. And every time we come before the King, it's appropriate to genuflect, which means to bend the knee. We get down on one knee and we genuflect to Jesus in the tabernacle because he is our King. We only genuflect before royalty, right? Before Jesus, our King. So what a great thing to do, to always genuflect. When we come into church, when we leave church, again, it's such a powerful thing. You can say a little prayer, like, "My Lord and my God," or, "Jesus, I love you, my Lord and my King." Another very practical suggestion for families would be to do the ceremony called the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. It's a very beautiful, very simple ceremony. It takes about 15 minutes. It's where you get a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus or a statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and you place it in your home, maybe in your dining room or your living room, and the family consecrates itself to Jesus and acknowledges that Jesus is King and Lord of this home. It's very easy to do. You can invite one of the priests over. We'll be happy to do that with you, or the Legion of Mary members can volunteer and come over. So call, they could come over, ask the Legion of Mary volunteers to help you do this. We have the booklets, we have the pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's a very powerful ceremony, and Jesus promised St. Margaret Mary that whoever has an image of Jesus in their home that is honored and cherished in this way, because enthronement means to place Christ as King and Lord of your family, will receive many graces and blessings from Almighty God. He says he'll establish peace in your home. He'll help you in all your trials and difficulties. So I would recommend that as a very practical way to live out this feast day of Christ the King. And then just the last couple things I would suggest, that we should always be reminded that in order to establish Christendom, to have Christ reign within society, we need to take Christ into the marketplace. That means that no matter what kind of a job you do, that you are building up the kingdom of God, you are living out your vocation as a Christian within the world. For example, as a doctor, to be a good Catholic doctor, a good Christian doctor, in how you practice your medicine or your particular field, to be a good Catholic lawyer, a good Christian lawyer. We have St. Thomas More as an example of that. St. Luke was the example of a doctor who lived out his faith. As a teacher, if somebody's involved in politics or business, to live out the Catholic faith in the workplace by how you deal with others and treat others and your integrity and honesty and virtue within the workplace. That's how we can establish, again, the kingship of Christ in the world through good Catholic doctors and lawyers and nurses and teachers, politicians, business leaders. See, this is how we can influence society for the good and to make it more Christian in its outlook. And lastly, I would suggest the just very practical ways that every time we do these things, we can help to build up the kingdom of God. Every time you pray together as a family, that builds up the kingdom of God. Every baby that gets baptized, every time you receive Holy Communion, again, that nourishes and builds up the church, the kingdom of God. Every time we go to confession, we build up the kingdom of God. So there are so many ways we can do this. For example, when a couple gets their marriage blessed in the church, let's say they've been married outside the church, and you come to the priest or deacon and have your marriage blessed in the church, then you can go back to confession and communion. It's a way to, again, it builds up the kingdom of God, which is the church. So there are practical ways we can do this by inviting our friends to RCIA to try to get back our fallen away Catholics. All of you know relatives, perhaps parents, spouses, children, grandchildren, neighbors that have drifted away from the church. Our job is to get them back. When you do that, you are building up the kingdom of God and acknowledging Christ as King. As you know, I've heard that the biggest denomination in America is Catholics. The second biggest denomination is fallen away Catholics, right? So your job and my job is to bring them back, to help bring them back into the church so we can help build up the kingdom of God to truly acknowledge that Christ is our Lord and our King.